Support for this podcast and the following message come from Lagunitas Brewing Company, challenging the status quo and crafting stories along the way. Featuring a wide range of innovative craft brews and non-alcoholic options, it's good to have friends. Learn more at Lagunitas.com.
Hey everyone, you're listening to It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Brittany Luce. This week, we're deconstructing beauty and diet trends. And where do most trends start these days? TikTok. I'm no stranger to the clock app, but there's one hashtag in particular that has caught my eye. In today's edition of we're talking about the clean girl.
You know those girls that always look clean? Their skin is always glowing, their lips are always glossed, and they never, ever look like they're wearing too much makeup? We may not be them, but here's
the thing. Now, if you don't know the trend, it's usually women wearing minimal makeup, a neutral wardrobe, and low almond-shaped nails. The hashtag carries a whopping 5.3 billion views on TikTok. And if you take even a cursory scroll through the trend, you'll also notice that it can take a long time to see someone who's not white. And from the clean girl, you can tumble into other trends that seem to center whiteness, like ballet core, the old money aesthetic, cottage core, and the vanilla girl. My guest today isn't shy about what she sees as an intentionally exclusionary trend.
To me, it does feel like a very strong messaging by white women who have politically fallen out of favor over the past few years and want to be seen as the apex of femininity once more.
That's Steffi Sau, staff writer at Forbes. And where some may see an innocuous turn to neutrals, modesty, and minimalism, Steffi sees a political arsenal. In this chat from March, Steffi and I dive deep into beauty politics as soft power. Steffi, welcome to It's Been a Minute.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. So we are here today to discuss an essay that you recently published to your Substack called White Women Want Their Power Back. I want to start off with the moment you knew you had to write this article.
When I was growing up, it was all about being thick, spelled with Q's.
Or two C's.
Yeah, two C's or a Q or a C, never the CK. Yeah, that was like the dominant culture when I was in high school, and that's what I came of age under. I don't know why, but I've just been getting fed a lot of lifestyle content, particularly around Pilates, high protein, low carb diets. And I think at a certain point, I was like, I think they just want me to be a skinny white woman because that's all that I'm seeing.
In your essay, you mentioned different trends. Clean girl, hashtags like ballet core.
The same way as the model off-duty look, it still gives that effortless chic on-the-go vibe, but with warmer clothing items like leg warmers here or boleros.
But a recent one that has seemed to spark a lot of discussion is the vanilla girl, which Glamour UK said is shaping up to be one of TikTok's biggest trends of the year.
Yeah.
What is the vanilla girl and why has this trend sparked so much ire in comparison to the other ones?
For me, vanilla girl is literally like the color vanilla. Everything is pale and cream and white and eggshell.
The color palette of the vanilla girl aesthetic is not very extensive, but it is exclusive. There's not a lot of variation here. It's cream, white, beige, what I would call a latte color. You don't want to go too brown because then you're heading into cinnamon girl territory, and that's just like a whole different.
And I think a lot of people who see vanilla girl, I think part of it is like this discourse around, I don't think this one's for me. I don't think this one's for you. I don't think this one's for a lot of people.
Right. Yeah. This trend is, it just looks like a bunch of like white clothes and like white items. And so I just want to know, like, why do we name things, certain things? Like,
and I think people are aware of all these like very white trends, these like not like white as in women participating, but literally the color white, which then also determines the influencers who can be the most successful in it.
Right.
Vanilla girl for me is one I'm like, everything is literally white. It is a very, to me, it's a sunken place aesthetic.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty on the nose. Like, to your point, I can't imagine what the response would even be from the people in my life if I walked around referring to myself as a vanilla girl. Like, right. I think my parents would feel like they had failed me in some way. But who's like the shining star of the clean girl beauty aesthetic right now? Is there a celebrity that our listeners might know about who really is like the picture of the clean girl?
I think for a long time, it may have been Hailey Bieber.
Hi, I'm Hailey Bieber, and I am here to answer Bazaar's burning beauty questions. I do really like chill makeup, like very natural, just glowy, dewy. I've
learned Hailey Bieber was really a very popular search term for a lot of these simple silhouettes and the basic nail and the quote unquote brownie glazed lip that she got called out for, because it's a very big part of like 90s Latina culture.
So like, have like the brown lip liner with like a much lighter lipstick or lip gloss and like blending it together.
Right. Yeah. So the clean girl is marketable in the way of it's attainable and it feels like someone who lives next door to you, but has their life together. I think the beauty of the clean girl is that it's so successful because she could be any girl within a specific guideline.
They seem to bring us back to definitely very stereotypical gender roles. And I see that kind of connected to a lot of the trad wife or traditional wife content that I see online, which has also become really popular over the past few years.
With my traditional values, a desire to be a busy stay-at-home mother of many children, my cooking skills and feminine style, I think I would have enjoyed being a 1940s woman.
What might it signal that so many white women on the internet appear to be leaning back into these traditional feminine ideals of the past?
All of these things, all these trends that we see online play to power. The stay-at-home girlfriend, on the surface being, I'm reclaiming my power as someone who doesn't want to work. And you know what? I actually do love staying at home. And none of these things seem bad in essence, but the fall back into, I guess, quote unquote, traditional family roles of the wife being at home and things like the drama that happened with wives who were packing lunches for their lineman husbands.
The competition around who's performing better at these types of ideals.
Right. It does all feel related in some way to very traditional forms of misogyny and hegemony. This simultaneous rise of traditional wife culture, as well as the return to a very, I would say boring, but like a very traditional form of beauty of like whiteness and thinness and hyper femininity. I don't think their simultaneous rise is coincidental. And so when I see all these aesthetics, when I see clean girl, coastal grandma, beige girl, vanilla girl, to me, it does feel like a very strong messaging by white women who have politically fallen out of favor over the past few years and want to be seen as the apex of femininity once more.
Coming up, Steffi and I unpack how soft power and beauty politics work hand in hand.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
This message comes from NPR sponsor REI Co-op. REI has gear, clothing, classes, and advice for camping and glamping, biking and hiking, axing and snacksing, backpacking, and another outdoor thing that rhymes with backpacking. Visit your local REI Co-op or REI.com for the million and one ways you can opt outside. This message comes from NPR sponsor Bluehost. Try Bluehost Cloud, the hosting plan made for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, fast load times, and 24/7 support, your sites can handle high traffic spikes. Visit Bluehost.com. This message comes from The Run-Through with Vogue. Listen as designers, Vogue editors, and industry icons like Erykah Badu and Florence Pugh have in-depth conversations about fashion and culture. New episodes are released each Thursday wherever you get your podcasts.
So when you say politically fallen out of favor, what do you mean when you say that?
Yeah, so when I was in high school, you know, Miley Cyrus was... She was high off Perk with her J's on. She was, you know, twerking at the VMAs. And it was this attempt in our culture to be as close to Blackness as possible while not suffering what the Black community goes through in our political system. And I would say since that era, there's been more clear understanding of how white women are also oppressors. And so as I talk about my essay, you know, we watched so many videos of Karens having meltdowns, calling the police on people of color. And then after that, there was a demand for white women to face the consequences. So politically, white women have fallen out of favor and become less cool. And so now, for me, it feels like an attempt at soft power, because when I look at countries like Japan and the Cool Japan Initiative that was specifically set up to export culture, anime and video games.
Like in the post-war era.
Right. In order to appeal more harmless and friendly as a nation to the world. It feels like a similar response now.
It sounds like what you're saying is white women cannot necessarily be assumed innocent of racism or innocent of harm. Basically, culturally, over the past couple of years, we've been able to see so many examples of how white women can also participate in white supremacy. It's almost like there's this charm offensive, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Through these aesthetics to take hold of some of the only type of power, capital, that's available to most women, which is beauty.
Absolutely. Like, as you said, white women have long held this currency in victimhood, in being the perfect victim. It becomes harder to maintain a sense of purity, of coolness to a wider society that no longer fully buys into it anymore.
Mm.
And so for me, it felt like a very direct response to our politics and beyond that, our movement for justice.
It's almost like the trend of looking more quote unquote racially or ethnically ambiguous is over, or at least sunsetting, for white women who popularized it. I mean, even the Kardashians, who have long borrowed from Black aesthetics to set trends, they've appeared to become less curvaceous. And they have been looking to Marilyn Monroe and Pamela Anderson for inspiration. You know, there are people listening to this who spend very little time on the internet. People who think a clean girl is simply a person who has showered. Why does any of this matter to them?
How you choose to view your own body in this wider society is inherently a very political act, which is why things like the body positivity movement that we see online is such a big deal, one, but also it's harder to sell that to a wider system that wants to profit off of insecurity. And so beauty politics is inherently tied to wider notions of power, of who is at the top, who is the coolest person in the room, and then how then from there you police your own self, you police your own choices, and how you perceive others as well.
Well, that makes me think about something that you talked about in your article. You mentioned in the article how white women have been, or really you unpack in the article how white women have been co-opting East Asian culture. But on our team, some people felt that many of the East Asian beauty trends developed outside of European whiteness.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it mean for white women to co-opt that aesthetic and bring it here? And also, I wonder, what assumptions are they making about East Asian women that this is an aesthetic that they want to interpret at this moment?
I do think it is interesting in that way, this perception of East Asian women in Western lifestyle content. And I think that lends in hand because East Asian women are often conceptualized as also very hyper feminine, also very like trad wife. They're fetishized as these docile, quiet, apolitical beings, right? So I think it fits well in with this attempt of white girl soft power, because so many of the factors just line up while also providing a sense of tokenized diversity, even though, you know, a lot of East Asian women are light-skinned and are often conceptualized as thin and pale and doe-eyed in the West.
It's so strange to see this trend of white women co-opting East Asian culture in 2023. Like, it's so strange to see it now. But people my age can't help but think of that memorable time when Gwen Stefani was doing that just about 20 years ago. I mean, well, she was co-opting South Asian culture in the 90s.
She was doing and everyone.
Then the 2000s, it was East Asian culture and a lot of Chicana culture. But it's almost like this trend is cyclical.
Yeah. This, for me, feels different because it is another very specific image of Asian-ness that's being exported into the coolness of white norms. So it's a different woman than it was in the 90s, which is like a doll, essentially, like with, you know, big lashes and the big bright colors. This is a different woman, but the essences of what is cool is essentially what fits again into what we've already determined as desirable in our content.
What's a trend that you like haven't seen yet, but you're like, I want this to pop? If you got to invent a trend and put
invent
it into action.
A trend. Oh man. Yeah.
I mean, this is national public radio. I mean, you could say something that starts a national trend. Stakes are high.
You know what? What if I were just like, everyone should just wear like latex bodysuits?
Oh, well, I mean, Steffi, your lips to America's ears. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been a minute today. It was great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Steffi Sau, staff writer for Forbes. You can read her essay, White Women Want Their Power Back, on her Substack. This episode of It's Been a Minute was produced by
Alexis Williams,
Barton Girdwood.
This episode was edited by
Jessica Plachek,
Jessica Mendoza.
Engineering support came from
Trey Watson,
Carly Strange.
All right, that's all for this episode of It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Brittany Luce. Talk soon.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR. Support for NPR and the following message come from Bombas. Bombas makes absurdly soft socks, underwear, and t-shirts. And for every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness. Get 20% off your first purchase at bombas.com/NPR and use code NPR.
All that sitting and swiping, your body is adapting to your technology. Learn how and what you can do about it.
I really felt like the cloud in my brain kind of dissipated. Once I started realizing what a difference these little breaks were making, there's no turning back for me.
Take NPR's Body Electric Challenge. Listen to the series wherever you get your podcasts.